Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
When you read the opening lines in the passage in Isaiah that was just read, you will see that these are not just words. They're words to a song. Isaiah 26 is actually a song. I know many people wouldn't see or know that Isaiah was actually a songwriter. Many of you will know that I like music. I have a bit of a musical background, musical history. I've even written a few songs, yes. Nothing's recorded, so no. I don't have an album or anything like that. I also know a few people who have written songs. And when I think about why do people write songs? People write songs for a variety of reasons. But the main reason people write songs is because they've got something to say. There's a point they want to make. There's a message that they want to give. And often when what the songwriter has to say relates to something that they found out, or maybe something they've experienced. There's actually a reason. Love is the number one topic for songs globally. In any culture, any language across history, love is the number one topic for songs, or certainly the most popular. And often when people will write songs about love, it'll be about falling in love or about heartbreak. You know, something to do with their experience, their knowledge of love. Or they want to commemorate something to do with love. Or even if the songwriter's writing, sometimes they will write to commemorate something that's happened. That also happens. We write about anniversaries. The song that was written by Stevie Wonder. And we often sing it here at PHBC. Happy birthday to ya. I mean, he wrote that song to commemorate the birthday of Martin Luther King, 4th of July, American Independence. Independence Day? No. Independence Day. They celebrate independence on the 4th of July. So it was written for that purpose. If you look at the lyrics of the song, he's really talking about Dr. Martin Luther King. So songs have a message. They have a message that the writer wants to convey, and the writer wants that message to endure in our hearts. The writer wants the people who hear these songs to remember the songs, remember the message, remember what is sung. And the writer believes that what they have to convey is important enough for people to want to hear it. And that's what Isaiah did in this text. Isaiah wrote a song. And today, nearly 3,000 years later, we are looking at the lyrics of that song. So let's remind ourselves. Isaiah was a prophet. Never forget that. Let's just set that down. He wasn't just a songwriter. Isaiah was a prophet. And he'd had this vision of Christ coming back, returning to earth to reign for 1,000 years. And as part of that vision, Isaiah saw himself standing next to God's people singing songs of thanksgiving. Just like we sang in the song that we did in the offering, we sang that verse, that last verse that said, he shall return in robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. In the song, Oh Praise the Name, that was the last verse. Yeah. So Isaiah was writing along those lines, talking about Christ's return. And he wrote this song, as a psalm of meditation, as a psalm of praise of the future. A future when God will come back to establish his kingdom right here. Now, as part of this vision of the future, Isaiah could hear the people reflecting on what it means to see Christ return, to see that blessed hope of Christ returning to earth. And today, I just want to draw out three key elements that we must be aware of as we seek to be found faithful when Christ returns. So, number one, be aware of the strongholds of our mind. Be aware of the strongholds of our mind. A stronghold. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is a place that has been protected, a place that has been fortified, so that it cannot be attacked or influenced by something external. That's what a stronghold is. A stronghold is also a place where particular beliefs and practices are upheld and they're defended. In Isaiah 24, if you read it, it talks about a city that ruled the world, a fortified city, a stronghold of a city that ruled the world. The word fortified is actually written, is what it describes in Isaiah 24. And the clue is in that word, fortified. That means it was a stronghold. That means it had strong defenses. In this case, if the gate of the city was shut, it means no one could get out, no one could get in. Does that sound familiar? Those of us who read the book of Joshua, that's what happened with Jericho. When a city is fortified, usually there will be people watching. There'll be watchmen at the gate along the city walls looking out. And they stand guard on top of the wall or near the top of the wall. Sometimes they're in towers. They stand guard at a high position looking out beyond the wall. They find the highest point and they take watch. They take it in turns all day and all night. So that only the ones that they want to come in can come in. They can identify who's coming before they arrive and take appropriate action, whether to let them in or not. You see, somewhere that is fortified is a place that is defended. It's a place that is protected. And for the walls, for what they use to defend and protect, they actually use the strongest materials. The strongest materials. They build ramparts, and they build it as high as possible. And their ramparts are made with earth. They're made with stone. I mean, these days when forts are built, military forts, they're built with concrete. There's iron reinforced concrete, or steel reinforced, actually, concrete on the outsides of these. For the gates of a fortified city, a fortified place, you use the strongest material you can find. You don't just use wood, but if you're going to use wood, it's the strongest wood. If you're going to use metal, it's the strongest metal. And you make the gates high, not just high, but heavy. Why? Difficult to open, difficult to smash. Now, why do you do this? Why all the protection? To protect what's inside. That's why. So this is the kind of fortified city that Isaiah is talking about in chapter 24. When we get to chapter 25 and verse 2, Isaiah then goes on to say this. He says, you know, you have made the city a heap of rubble, the fortified town a ruin, the foreigner's stronghold a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Wow. Isaiah is telling us the city is destroyed. It becomes a heap of rubble. It's never going to be rebuilt. As strong as that city was, it was broken down. So let's think about us. Let's think about our minds. The city that is our mind. What is protecting our city? You see, saints, it's really, really important. It is critical that we examine our thought life. What we think, how we think. It's important that we examine what we think against what God thinks. What we think about ourselves against what God thinks about ourselves. What we think about our actions against what God thinks about our actions. What we think about our opinions, our choices against what God thinks. Today, I'm not asking what we're thinking. I'm just challenging some of the things that we might be used to, or challenging some of the things we have used to protect our beliefs. To protect our beliefs. The walls we have built around what we believe. What are we using to protect what we believe? What we believe about who we are? What are we using to protect that? Are we using what society says? The reason I am alive today is because I am lucky, society says. You were lucky. Is that what we're using? Are those the walls that we're using, that we're building around who we are? And it's important that we check what we believe about who we are, what we believe about who God is. So what are the strongholds? What are the fortified or the forts? What's the fortification around our mind? You know, last Sunday, if you remember, we had issues. Those of you who watch regularly or listen regularly, and it was said, we had issues with the radio. We couldn't broadcast on radio. It turns out that there was some software, a little piece of software on the computer that had been activated. I don't know why. I don't know what caused that. I don't know. But this software, you, as soon as I say the name, you'll understand it. The software is called a firewall. And the firewall software had been activated. Now, firewall software builds literally that, a wall around your computer. The firewall is the software through which programs can connect to or from your computer. So when this firewall software did not recognize the connection we were trying to make to the radio. So when we tried to connect the radio to the radio server from here in the sanctuary, the firewall on the computer saw it as an unauthorized connection and it blocked it. You see, in Isaiah 26, chapter 26, which we read, that's where we get our text today, it's talking about a city that is protected, not just fortified, but protected by God. Isaiah describes a place of security, describes a place of safety, a place of blessing for God's people. Because it is a city of God, it is protected by God, by God's divine power. Its defenses are not made of earth or stone or steel or iron or wood. Its defenses are supernatural defenses. And we must recognize that our minds matter to God. And if they matter to God, God is meant to be the defense around our mind. He is meant to be our fortification. He is meant to be our protection. The protection we build around our minds must be God. And anything that does not meet God's authorization, just like the computer, anything that does not should not be allowed in. As I said earlier on, number one, we should be aware of the strongholds of our minds. Number two, we should be aware of the steadfastness of our trust. Be aware of the steadfastness of our trust. God bless America, but God help America right now. And I really hope, you know, it's easy to watch the news and say, oh, these Americans, you know, you get what you deserve. This is what you, da, 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 da. I don't care whose president you like or don't like. That is a nation that is still filled with the people of God. That is a nation, people of God or not, that is still filled with people. And so you as a Christian should be praying for them. Yeah, it's easy. The flesh wants to laugh and mock and say, oh, listen, this is an embarrassment. Tra-la-la-la-la. Big brother has messed up. You don't stand and point. You cover big brother's shame. That's what family members do. So we should be praying for that nation. Amen. Anyway, if you look at any US dollar right now, it has the famous words, in God we trust. At some point, one point or another, every single one of us has trusted someone. Of course, many of us have also been disappointed by someone we trusted. But I'm not talking about that today. I want to talk about the aspect of trust. Yeah, where we put our trust. Many, many years ago, there was a psychologist that did a survey, and he asked people to define trust. Here are some of the answers. The first one says, trust is when you like someone, says a 7-year-old from Germany. Trust is feeling safe, said a 52-year-old from the Netherlands. This third one, trust is leaving the questions and control behind, says a 32-year-old from Italy. And trust is when you don't feel the need to think about trust, said a 40-year-old from Sweden. I particularly like that last one. Trust is when you don't feel the need to think about trust. As you know, God created us in His image, in His likeness. This means that just as God is not a mindless heavenly being, we should not be mindless human beings. The divine likeness to God includes the capacity to think. And that's why God used words, or should I say, used the word to reveal Himself to us. Yeah. It tells us that God also values our understanding. How can we understand without the mind? Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians, encourages the people. He says, pray with the spirit and with understanding. The mind is important. In our text today, Isaiah tells us that God keeps in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust him. Perfect peace. Someone once said, peace is not the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of God. Peace is not the absence of trouble in your life. Peace is the presence of God in your life. And I'm sure it is similar in vein to what Jesus was saying when he says that in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. It's the same peace for which Isaiah tells us that we must be steadfast. To be steadfast means no dilly-dally. It means to trust wholeheartedly. Isaiah 26:3, he will keep you. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust you. To be steadfast means no wishy-washy. It means to trust wholeheartedly, to trust completely in inclination and in character. Totally trust. It means we hold nothing back in our trust. It's related to what the Bible tells us when written in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, which many of us will know. It tells us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In some of your ways, in a few of your ways, no. In all your ways, acknowledge him, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. So where are we putting our trust? Putting our trust in things that can change? Is that what we're doing? We're putting our trust in what the media says? Because trust me, they're going to change. I just said trust me. They're going to change their tone tomorrow. We're putting our trust in the science? Really? 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 Science? Which is rooted in human understanding. We're putting our trust in science? Really? We're putting our trust, what? The watch on your hand? The money in your bank? It's not even your bank. It's in the bank. What are we putting our trust in? We're putting our trust in all these things that are subject to change. Saints, putting your trust in something that's going to change is like floating in the sea and thinking you can keep still. Thinking you can keep still while floating in the sea. Absolutely impossible. It's a fool's errand. It doesn't work. It cannot happen. And so many people have bought into the lie that how we feel determines what's real. The world even tells us, trust your feelings. No, no, no. Trust your feelings? Of course not. Your feelings are subject to change. How can you trust your own feelings? Let me touch on that for a moment. Let me say this. Look, feelings are really important because feelings are the signs of what's happening inside us. However, it is thinking that actually helps us navigate our journey. Feeling gives you an indication of what's going on, but thinking helps you to navigate, helps you to choose. So, let's think for a moment about what Isaiah is referring to in verse 3 and 4 of our text today. In verse 3, he illustrates to us that God is reliable. God is dependable. God is unmovable. God is steadfast. God is sure. We're not to put our trust in the shifting sands of our emotions, in the shifting sands of our feelings. But if you look at what he says in verse 4, he repeats the phrase, the Lord. He says it repetitively. He says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. And by repeating, by emphasizing in whom we are to trust, by repeating, Isaiah is emphasizing it. He's reinforcing the one in whom we are to trust. After the emphasis, he calls God the rock. He says he is the rock eternal. That is to say, the everlasting rock, the rock of ages. And if we, and yeah, I just put it up there. If we look at it in the message says, depend on God and keep at it. You see, in this verse, Isaiah 26:4, we who are made in the likeness of God, we are called to be steadfast in the way that we trust God. We're called to have a steadfast trust in God. You know, the kind of trust that brings peace. The kind of God that brings the peace that we see in verse 3. Perfect peace. The kind of trust that comes from focusing our attention on God, focusing our attention on His Word. Let me point out one more thing. Psalm 23 verse 4 says this. It says, this is the King James Version. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Pause. "For thou art with me." And some of you have heard me say this already. I've said this many, many times. That when you're in the dark valley of life, when you can't see the light at the end of your tunnel, when your situation has got you in a place where you're thinking, "Lord, how long? Another lockdown? Lord, how long?" When you're wondering when it will end, never forget that the Lord is with you. He has not abandoned you. He journeys with you even in that darkness, even today in this new lockdown, even today where you're saying, "Lord, when will I start my job? When will I have money?" God hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't turned His back on you. You may not have enough money, but the Lord is with you. Amen? You may have been unwell for some time, but the Lord is with you. You may have issues in your relationship, but the Lord is with you. Amen? And He is with you, and you can trust Him in all things. So, first, we should be aware of the strongholds of our minds, and then we should be aware of the steadfastness of our trust. Number three, finally, we should be aware of the sovereignty of our God. Verses 5 and 6 of our text tell us simply that God humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground. He casts it down to dust. See, God has brought the proud and the oppressive city down to dust. The city that opposed the things of God has been brought low. It's been brought down to nothing. In the same way, God brings down all those who trust in that city. And by now, I think you know that I'm referring to a city that is built as a result of the works of men, not a city that is built in the purpose of God. I'm talking about a city where those who dwelled in it thought they were big, they thought they were strong, they thought they were mighty, yet they were trampled. They were trampling on the helpless, and now they were trampled upon. Well, guess what? That city, as strong as they thought they were, brought down to dust because they did it in their own strength. In the same way, in your life, all those things that are opposed to the work of God, those situations, that condition you face, those things that are causing you to be oppressed, those cities that are built by the works of men that look mighty in your life, they too will be brought low in the name of Jesus. As the Lord did before, He will do it again. That is the promise that we have in His Word. It is better for us to dwell humbly in the city of God than to be among the mighty who will soon be fallen, who will be in a city that will soon be crushed. Whatever you're facing that's causing you to feel stressed, causing you to feel oppressed, causing you to feel oppressed, I pray that the Lord will turn it around for your good and for the glory of His name. But you need to recognize that your mind matters to God and you need to yield it to Him. Now, why will God do all these for us? Honestly, because He can. Because He can. He is the sovereign God over all the earth and over all of heaven. And He can do whatever He wants us, whatever He wants to do. Yet He chooses us. He chooses you. He chooses me as His own. Do we need another reason to worship Him? Do we? He's not just God. He's not just that God. He is the God. He's not just the God. He is our God. He is mighty to save his own. And knowing that we have a victorious God should cause us to rest in him, to worship him. And not just to worship him simply because of what he's done, but to worship him because of who he is. And saints, it's critical that we watch what we allow to enter our minds. So critical. As Christians, our belief systems need to evolve or revolve around the Word of God. Must be centered in the Word of God. And those of you who know me better, you can testify that I always seek to have a biblical text or a biblical principle for anything that I think, anything that I say, anything that I do. What's the biblical idea around my choice? What's the biblical idea around what I just said or the position I'm taking? And I'm asking you to do the same. Have a biblical stance for who you are, for your choices. Because it's by doing this that we keep our minds safe. It is by doing this we build a fortress of the Word of God around our minds and keep our minds protected from the onslaught, the barrage of nonsense that the world has to offer. And today I want to encourage you to do the same. Let the Lord be the strong tower into which you run so that you can be safe, saved. Let me tell you a story as I close. There was a man and his wife. You may have heard this before. Some of you may have heard it before. There was a man and his wife who were crossing a very, very large lake in a boat. They weren't swimming across. They were in a boat. And without any warning, a very large storm blew across the water. The water became very choppy. It became very unstable. The wife was very concerned. Very, very concerned. And she was afraid that the boat was going to capsize and in the stormy waters that they would both drown. In the meantime, her husband sat there calmly and he said nothing. He was just powering the boat across. After a while, he started whistling a song. His wife looked at him whistling as if everything was perfectly fine. Eventually, she confronted him. She said, you know, what's going on? I mean, you're just sitting there like everything's hunky-dory. We're on the beach enjoying the sun. You know, I mean, you're not taking this situation seriously enough. Without saying a word, her husband reached into his bag, pulled out a very large knife, and held it to her neck. She immediately looked up at him and shouted, "What do you think you're doing? Stop being so silly and put that knife away. What's wrong with you?" And as the man put the knife away, he asked his wife, "Were you not afraid of the knife? Were you not afraid that the knife would cut you?" She replied, "Of course not. What's wrong with you? How would I be afraid of the knife that you are holding? I'm not going to be afraid of the knife. You're holding it, and I trust you." The husband answered her, "I'm not afraid of the storm because God is holding it, and I trust him." So what storms are raging in your life, saints of God? What storms are brewing in your mind? Maybe you've been through some tough stuff. Maybe you're still going through the trials of life right now. One battle or another. Today I am encouraging you to trust God in all you have, in all you do, in all you are. Trust God. God first and God last. God only. No matter what we have been through, God has never failed us. And you can be assured that his everlasting strength will be just as much our present help and fortress as it has ever been. I assure you, God is fully aware of your situation and your circumstance. Yet he calls you to live above, not beneath, those circumstances. He calls you to a steadfast confidence in him. A steadfast confidence in his word. He calls you to a deeper knowledge, a steadfast knowledge and relationship with him. And all he asks is that you surrender your choices. Surrender your mind. Trust him in all things. And so as I close, let me remind you that today you can be aware of the stronghold of your mind and build a new defense, a godly defense around your mind, protecting what is internal from the influence of what is external. You can also be aware of the steadfastness of your trust and focus your mind through the scripture on the person of Jesus, on the promise of God, and the renewed affirmation of your trust in Him. And today, you can be aware of the sovereignty of our good God, our great God, our glorious God, and worship Him, even in the valley, worship Him. Even in the valley, worship Him. After all, He alone is worthy to be praised. And He alone is worthy to be ascribed greatness. And He alone deserves the glory. And He alone deserves the honor. And He alone deserves adoration. Both now and forever.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.